So die aksent kom sterk deur. So maar is lekker om Afrikaans op te praat. Ek praat maar net Afrikaans as daar besoekers verbykom. So andersins is dit alsmaar in Engels en 'n bietjie Russies probeer ek praat nog. The Apostle Paul said, I long to know nothing amongst you than Jesus Christ and him crucified. So ons praat Jesus. En is daar iemand wat graag soos Jesus wil wees? Wat sê, maar ek wil soos Jesus wees. Ok, die regte antwoord, pastoor, allemaal sê, ek wil soos Jesus wees, so dis die regte antwoord, baie mooi. Nou, wat het Jesus gedoen? Je weet, en as ek kyk na Jesus' lewe, en ons lees in Matteus 9 vers 35, then it said there, then Jesus began traveling throughout all the cities and villages. Jesus began traveling throughout all the cities and villages. Dit was Jesus' hart, dit is wat hy gedoen het. Nooit het hy gaan settle op 'n plek en gesê, maar dit is my plek en ek gaan kyk vir myself en myself 'n lewe maak en dis wat ek gaan doen. Ek meen, Jesus se hart was to go to the people, to get into the people who don't know him yet. En so, as ons sê ons wil soos Jesus wees, dan begin ons allemaal travel. Ja, Corrie, dit is nou typiese missionary preek. So, maar ek sal dit later in perspektief bring. So Jesus daar drink throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Jy weet, in baie keer, die evangelie het ons iets gemaakt wat ook ons pas, en gaan sê vir mense, Jesus is lief vir jou. Dit is, ek meen, een baie belangrike feit, Jesus is lief vir jou. But the gospel of the kingdom, where Jesus is king, and what does it mean to live in the kingdom of God, where Jesus is king? I mean, if we would live in a country where Jesus is the president. I mean, that's what it means, because the kingdom means that's the place where Jesus is king. He rules, he reigns according to his laws, according to his, and that's the kingdom you can live in. And that's our message, the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus preached it, and then he sent his disciples so many times, said, go and tell the people that the kingdom of God is here now, and that we can live in the God's kingdom through being born again. Because Jesus told Nicodemus, you will not see the kingdom if you are not born again. That means if you are born again, then we can live in the kingdom now because Jesus is king. Sorry, kon net hier so terugkom by scripture. And then Jesus went, healing every disease and every illness. So that's why we're going to pray for the sick as well, because that is Jesus' heart. That's what Jesus has been doing, and that is how he sent us out to go. So first he was traveling, and through the cities and villages. Then verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he was deeply moved with compassion for them. Are we still deeply moved when we see the people? Are we still moved when we see the people? I mean, it's great to be in your church, and I praise God for you. And when we look outside to those who do not know Jesus, this, you know, even people in government, oh, this government, this, and this government, and those sinners, and those drunkards, you know, are we moved with compassion, or are we condemning what they are doing? Because if you are without Jesus, you cannot rule or make decisions according to his kingdom. And when Jesus looked at the people, Jesus, wow, you look at them, and you had compassion on them. And this is to be like Jesus. So all of you, I said, you want to be like Jesus. And I pray that we will have the heart of Jesus when we look at people outside of his kingdom, that we will really look at them with compassion. And that's why you guys are going, let's go to Lesotho, because of the love of God, and because we have compassion for those people, because they are in a situation that we are not. That's why we can go to them and give them something which they don't have. That's why we go and support them. I believe you're going to there with connect with other Christians, missionary, mission base, or whatever. Okay, mission company. Okay, exactly. So to support our brothers, because God never sent one guy on a mission, but Jesus Christ works through his body. I mean, Jesus Christ needs a body. Why would Jesus say himself, I'm the head of the body, and then he's the head of what? A body, and that's us. So, and that's why you are in a position to send a team. So what I want to say, that to bring everything in perspective, We didn't all of us are in the position to go to all the villages and cities like that first scripture. As a body, yes, we can. So as a body, you can send them. Not, you cannot put the whole church in a bus and go to Lesotho. Somebody stay here, because who knows that Piquet Park is part of the world? Jesus said, go into all the world, Piquet Park. So somebody must be here to make a change here in Piquet Park. Jesus, he looks at Piquet Park and he says, wow, my heart is moved with compassion for Piquet Park. And therefore he needs, I don't know what professions, God needs the doctors, the Christian doctors, the Christian attorneys, the Christian farmers, the Christian, in all spheres of life, God needs his body to work there. And that is the beauty of the body. Because you know the scripture in Acts 1 verse 8, where he says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, or Judea, or Samaria. Yes? True? No, it's not true. He said, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, and, not or, and Judea, and Samaria, and. So there's an and. So we will be witnesses in all these places. But I'm one person in one body, so I cannot be everywhere. And that's the beauty of the body. So you can be, stay witnesses in this next 2 weeks. We're going to witness in Piquet Park and Lesotho. And you're going to drive by with a bus or cars. So at every Shell, Ultra City, or wherever you're going to stop, you're going to be witnesses. Huh? So in this next coming weeks, this body, this local body, is going to be a witness to the world on the way, all the way to Lesotho, in Lesotho, here and there and everywhere. And I know they are specifically playing for Russia as well. So this body already is a witness in all these places, here and there and there and there. Do you understand what I say? So that's what I said when I was speaking about the heart of Jesus, traveling to all cities. I mean, we cannot. Physically, it's not possible for us to be here and there and there. But you can have the heart of Jesus. And you sending this guy out to Lesotho shows me something of the heart of Jesus that is here in this family. Because some people are going to stay behind to be a witness here, to share with other people, hey, we can live in a kingdom where Jesus is king, here in Piquet Park, whatever city you're going to pass through, in Lesotho, and wherever we go. So as a body, we can do that. One, never. I mean, you can be a lone rider and preach to people. Yes, we can preach somewhere. But as a body, that's the beauty of the body. And Jesus Christ, he is the head. So when Jesus saw the crowds, he was deeply moved with compassion for them because they were troubled and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So there's a lot of sheep, but there's no shepherds. So there's nobody to lead them, to walk in front and call them. They know the shepherd's voice and they follow him. There's nobody like that. Then he told his disciples, the harvest is vast, but the workers are very few. So, here's the solution. Jesus, you see all of that? He's moved. He has compassion because there's all the sheep. They don't have any leaders. They don't have shepherd. And Jesus gives the solution. So, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So, prayer, I mean, ask God to send out harvest. The prayer is the foundation of all ministry. And I believe we cannot have a family of God like this if there's no prayer. So prayer is the foundation of all ministry. So this is the first thing, pray. So Jesus didn't just say, okay, pray, and there you go. No, pray for? What's written there? Pray for? Workers, harvesters, workers in the harvest. Guess where the workers are coming from? Anybody? Guess where the workers in Piquet Park is coming from? Oh, cool. I like that answer. Okay. So, let's pray for workers. But we must always remember, we are the workers. And therefore, I was so excited. The first thing, I always like it when the vision is on the church walls. And then I just read and I can get an idea what's going on in this church. And when I read the vision of Shofar there at the back, to reach nations, generations, by making disciples, leadership development, and church planting. And I mean, in Afrikaans, I could have never said it, my heart and my vision, exactly what it's like it's written there. So therefore, I felt so at home when I read this morning, because that is exactly what our heart is. So that's just my heart and the foundation of what we are doing. Paul said it's holiday time. My people, het gaan rus. En dit is hoe ek Rusland toe is. Weet. Want ons rus daar. So as jy rus nodig het, kom Rusland toe. Dan gaan rus ons saam. In Rusland. That's not the reason why I went there. I was just a school teacher. Minding my own business and all the children's business in the school where I was teaching. And one Sunday morning like this in worship, I was just in front of God, just worshiping God. Yes, my life, use me. And when I said it, I saw the map of Russia. Maar ek skrik my by the Westen. Ek sê, Lord, Russia, but, I mean, because I was not thinking about missions, I was not thinking about Russia at the time, I was not, and God just came in Russia. But I know it was in my spirit, and something happened. And 2-3 weeks after that, I heard about a missions conference just outside of Johannesburg, and I knew I had to go. I didn't know anybody there. I just called him and said, I'm coming. So I went there, and the whole weekend, from Friday till Sunday, was about Russia. Good guess. There were missionaries already preparing to go to Russia, already ministering in Russia, and the whole weekend was pray for Russia. And how better can God confirm? And then he gave me word. And then I went back to my friends. I wanted to go and tell them, hey, God has called me for Russia. Very excited now. And before I could open my mouth, my friend said, hey, God has given us a word about Russia. I said, what? And through many things, God just started confirming. And I thought, well, this must be God. So, okay, that was in 94, long time ago. And then in 95, God just pushed my heart, I must go on a short term. So I went there for 3 weeks in the July holidays. And I connected there with a South African friend who already there to study the language and the culture. And they connected with a church there, and I went to visit them to support them and just to see what God is showing me through them. And they had a crusade there. They rented a big theater with a balcony on the back, and there was Americans preaching there. And in the end, the American preacher, he invited people, there's a big hall, he invited people to the front. He said, those who want to receive Jesus Christ, you must come here to the front. Those who want to need prayer for healing, you come stand here on the right. And any other needs, you come stand here on the left, and then we will pray for you. So me and my South African friends, we were sitting at the back there on the balcony. So I was looking down on the people, and when he said, come forward, the whole hall, all those people, stood up and ran forward. I mean, the whole crowd was standing in front. They didn't know who wanted to receive Jesus, who wanted to pray for healing, or what. It was just this crowd, and this person didn't know what to do. But I just saw the hunger of the people. And remember, that was 95, 5 years after the Iron Wall came down. Now, it gets more and more difficult to speak to people about the Iron Wall and the communists and the rooi gevaar, and you know, want die jong generasie weet nie regtig meer wat het is nie, maar ek weet nie wie van julle het nog ook groot geword om te bid vir ouma en opa en die mense achter die eistergordijn en die man op die grens. Wie van julle het dit gebid? Okay, so, and when I stood there and I saw the people running forward, God showed me, you are the people you prayed for when you were small, 5, 6, 7 years old. You prayed for me, people behind the iron curtain. Here they are running to Jesus. And I was so touched. Even now, I'm getting wonderflies as I'm standing there. So I just sat down there, and I was weeping, and I was, the tears, there was a whole puddle of tears on the floor, and I was just, and God just gave me a passion for the Russian nation. You say, the world prayed for them. Here they are. The doors are open. Come in. Help them. Teach them. And there's one of them sitting there. These are the people we prayed for. And God answered our prayers, and he did what it. So I knew God had called me back. In 97, I went there again for 3 months. I took long leave, October, November, December. And that was tough, because now I'm there for 3 months. Not just a three-week adventure, but now you must settle down for three months. And then December came, and the snow, and minus 30, and minus... And I was, Lord, I'm a bullshit. I want this heat. I'm more comfortable in minus in 34 than in minus 34, you know. So give me the heat and the sun. But and so that was tough. And after those 3 months, I said, Lord, I was obedient. I've been there. I've done it. So thank you. I'm going back teaching. I'll do my... And always, when I say, God, what is your will for my life? Corey, you know. And then I had to say, okay, Lord, send me. I'll go. And in 99, I went there again for 3 weeks for a short-term outreach. And in 2000, God said, okay, now it's time to go. Because I already wanted to go. I can tell many stories about the whole process in those years. But I wanted to go, and God then just said, wait, I'm preparing you. 2000, God said, it's now time. So I started preparing, sharing at my home group with my church, and they were praying with me for the timing and for everything. And in 2001, I went there full-time. But when I went with a CSV Dinsjaar team. They were sending teams for a few years already to Russia. And then the leader couldn't take them in 2001. And I said, I'm going to Russia. Send them with me. But I'm going full-time myself. So I arrived there. People arranged accommodation for us, and that's it. And yeah, I sat with the team. I said, okay, Lord, what do we do now? So we just went to the streets, and we started praying for the people. Me and with the six CSV Dinsjaar guys. And God just showed us. I mean, there were many people, old people, children. But God showed us the young people sitting around. There's no hope. Then in the ninth, it was just after Perestroika and, you know, Yeltsin. I don't know who knows the whole history. But the people were without hope. And the young people just sitting. They didn't have any vision for the future. And then one morning, I woke up. We were praying then for the youth. And I was waking up. God just showed me a picture. And I want to share a bit of the picture then. If you can go to the PowerPoint, Russia. Now, these are just some photos of the youth camps we had with South Africans. You can continue. We had camps, people on the street, typical Russian photos. We can stop there. So God gave us a vision. I'll show the picture and the end of vision that God said. But if you look at Russia, I mean, it's the biggest land, biggest country, oppervlakgewijs, in the world. And it stretches over 11 time zones. So the people there in Vladivostok wake up 11 hours before us there in Moscow. So it is huge. But when you look at Russia, you're almost in the middle. You see the Ural Mountains. The left part of that is European Russia, and to the right is Siberia, where it's very cold. And there you get villages that is 1,000 kilometers apart from each other, just because it's so remote. It is snow. It's minus 40, minus 50 there. So you cannot really... But there are people who survive and live there. So, and Russia, you can go to the next slide. 150 million people, less than 1% evangelical Christians. So, and then next one. There are about 30,000. No, the numbers change. They don't know exactly. But 30,000 towns, villages, with no Christians. No churches. I mean, in that big country. Still today, there are many, many of those cities where there are no churches. I don't know how big Piquet Park is and how many churches there are here. But, I mean... The gospel is available. If people want to know God, they can walk down the street and they find a church and they can ask people and say, pray for me or not. I don't know Piquet Park so well, but I mean, I go today to the, well, everybody go to the Pretoria. I'm still amazed. At the eastern part of Pretoria, there's a church of 10,000, 3,000, and you just go down that one street and there are all these big Moroleta church and Doxadeo CRC, and there's all these big churches. So the gospel is so available. In South Africa. There are 30,000 towns without. So, we are living now. God sent us to a village. They call it the village. It's 20,000 people there. Not far from Moscow, just a few 20 minutes outside of Moscow, and there's no church. And God has placed us there, so we are living there now a few years. And we trust God that there will be. Many people heard the gospel on the streets. We already shared the gospel with many people. But because of the influence and the pressure of the Orthodox Church, People are very scared of the evangelical Christians. We will share the gospel today and they receive Jesus, pray on the street. I think more than 80 or 100 people already on the street receive Jesus. But when you connect with them or contact them the next day and say, let's read the Bible again, they say, no, you are sects. Some people call a Satanist in the town already. And now we have a fellowship there of 6 people already. But we believe, but we just go and make disciples, we do leadership training, and we plant churches. But Jesus said, he will build his church. So we're trusting that the Lord will build his church in that little town. And like I said, that is, we are praying that that will be a church of Christ, that will be a model for many others. Because the need is so great that there are so many others without any churches. So God has put us there. And in the vision, we can go next slide. There's some more photos of the South Africans that came to visit us there. You can continue. Yeah, that is the picture that God gave me in that vision that one morning. And he said that that you see the map there, a young person standing on the map of Russia receiving the sun, Son of God, the light. And that is what he's calling us to do, because God wants to raise up a young generation in Russia. Why young generation? God loves the old people. But you know, it's very difficult for the old people because they came out of communism with that mindset of communism, with Lenin-style leadership, with, don't touch us, we know everything. And but God wants to raise up young generation that is open for the gospel. But to raise them up, he needs young leaders. So God has called us to do leadership, to identify, and we trust in God that he will send the young leaders to us whom we can equip for ministry and then send them back to their own cities, countries, churches, so they can raise up on their part. Those shepherds who can raise up the and lead the sheep, that is what we are busy with. Discipling leaders, and we mobilize the youth to go out into Russia. We're not there. Some more photos of the youth, some of the cities. We can stop the PowerPoint there. What I just wanted to share then, how do we do it, the leadership? We have different ways in which we train up leaders. I'm involved in different churches. I travel also in Russia, different churches, cities. Pastors can invite us and say, please, we've got youth here, but we don't have any youth leaders. So we go there, we help them through conferences, through staying for time there, help them to identify leaders, do training, and then we invite them also to our training. In this, our summer months, July, August, we get young leaders together. They come stay with us in our house, because discipleship is not just standing off behind the pulpit and just tell this is what you must do, but discipleship is living life with the people like Jesus did. So we get a group of 15 average young people into a house. We live with them. There's not always space. I mean, we had a 3-bedroom house, you know, so we put them everywhere in the corridors. The people sleep in front of our door. When we open our bedroom door, there are people sleeping there. So we just sleep everywhere. And then, the people, the students, I mean, we in our room, my wife and my children, we sleep in one room, and then all the other rooms and corridors, everything is occupied by people, and we live life with them. We worship with them. We pray with them. We study the word with them. We cry with them. We laugh with them. And through that, we build a relationship, disciple them, so they can live and see an example of the Christ-like life. And after these 2 months, then we send them back to their own churches so they can go and reproduce and do the same. 2 months is, praise God for the 2 months. This is what we have now, but our desire is to have a more long-term, like a year discipleship course. But we are limited in our resources with buildings, like I say, the house, to do it for 1 year, to get the people financially, it's difficult. The people coming from the countryside in Russia is still very poor. We are limited with space, finances and stuff to that, but we are, praise God for this 2 months we have. Then we do go to, like I said, conferences in different cities. In January, this winter time, we will go to a city of Orenburg, and there we will go do a 5-day training for leaders of that region, for example. And then how is this town? I don't know if you Many people struggle with the name, but the town we are living in's name is Malachovka. I don't know if you will remember that to pray. Malachovka. It's easy. Okay, Russian is easy. Now, I still struggle. After 17 years of staying there, I'm still struggling with the language. But we're trusting the Lord for a church here, but not only a church, but also a base, because workers must go out to harvest. And our heart is to have a base where we can get young leaders, equip them, train them, send out. So we want to train and send out, train and send out. But we need a base. Right now we are renting an apartment. We had to leave that house because the people wanted to sell it. So now we're renting an apartment, two rooms, kitchen and a bathroom. So we don't have the space to do that. And we are praying that we'll be able to buy a house at least, where we can put a lot of people in to equip them for the whole year, to have a base from where we can equip and send people out. I asked Alesia quickly to come and share just shortly that you can hear a Russian speak as well. She will speak in English. Not Russian, but if you want to speak Russian. Yeah, you can greet him in Russian. And then you can just share a little bit from their side as a Russian what the need is in Russia. And then we can finish, when she's finished, we can finish with that video clip.
Hello, everybody.
I'll just have an eye on.
Yeah. Actually, before I met Kuri, I was already Christian. But in our mindset, the word disciple is not almost not exist because Orthodox Russia is almost Orthodox. You know, it's like a kind of Catholics, but no, it looks like so. It's like, how to say it, people know God exists. They really believe God exists. He created the world. But just get something, for example, your need. So you will not pray directly to God. You must ask Mama of Jesus because she's more kind to God, than God. So you must ask Jesus, or Mama of Jesus, Mary, maybe they will go to God. Well, Jesus also God, but he's more kind. It's like mindset. So, and disciple not exist because people just know God is there. You must be obey, and that's it. So it's not really relationships. In the church still, in the Protestant churches, pastor is everything. What he will say is just it's a rule, and you will obey, and that's it. So you cannot just think like maybe it's not from Bible, for example, something like that. So it's just Eastern mindset, because Russia, almost all of us were Eastern people still. So when I got married, Kuri told me about his vision, and that was too huge for me. Because I thought, okay, get married, it's already, just stay still and be happy, that's it. Don't think about other stuff, because his brain and his vision was all Russia, at least. So for me, it's too much, I couldn't put it in my head. And year by year, I was praying and stretch myself just to receive what he've got. So now I know what discipleship is about, and I really believe it's only one way, because if people will come and just listen, they can obey, but they don't think. It's not live inside, so it's not really like, yes, they really love Lord, but they didn't listen from himself, because they cannot. Many people, youth, just coming to us, and we're saying, Did you speak to God? Did you receive it from God? They said, receive. They really believe pastors can receive, but not people. It's like, so what we're doing, we're just living together and we're praying. So every need, okay, let's pray together. And you must see that faces. God spoke to me. It's real. It's like, for them it's breakthrough. It's just God can speak, really. So that's just amazing how you're seeing. Second thing, what I wanted to say, in Russia, women, it's also Eastern part of mindset. Women, women was born for men. if I can say, just to honor and like, it's no, almost like slavery mindset. So when I got married, I realized I'm a queen. And it's just, it's already too much for Russian. And what girls, they are just living here. And they're just saying, you look, you're walking like a queen. You are like, you, it's something with you. And even guys, no, young guys, they're just looking at us and they realize something. It's, and I said to them, it can be real life and real love in family. Because I couldn't believe that. I never saw any example of that. So, and what we are saying, we even got some special session for our youth, how Jesus treats his bride and how he looks at his bride. And we tried our best just to show through normal life how it really looks like, church and his bride and that relationships. So, and Corey always just put, stay on the knees, and he's say, explaining, Jesus not came to rule, he just came to serve. So this is the part of the role, attitude, in the normal Christian life. And so we try to represent Jesus and his bride. I'm not so perfect like his bride, and my husband is perfect. So actually we are the perfect picture of the Jesus and his bride. So everything, we try to encourage our students. I'm almost 40. I look maybe smaller, but so for me, they are kids. And I try to go back and bring that real life, real experience of real God, and be normal. We try to say, don't put mask. Try to be Christian, because it's a dead thing. Be normal. Be just live out. And they wrote the feedbacks. Everything, all of them, they're saying, you show the freedom to us. You can be free. So some of them, when they raise up their hands, it's already freedom for some of them. So they just experience real life with Jesus. So they can speak about anything with him. And he really can answer. And he show the visions. And he really loves his bride. So it's just, you know. So, yeah, what we are living, yeah. So, and we are always open for people, they want to come, and just we are saying, okay, please stay with us and be real church. That's it.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you, Alicia. Yeah. So, yeah, she's speaking about the testimonies of these young people. We just get feedback. We ask them to write letters, what God did with them in the last 2 months we spent with them. And just the testimonies are amazing. So I'm going to start translating it and send it to the people who pray with us. I took the liberty. I put down our address there at the back on the info center. I hope it's okay. I'll take it back if not. But anyway, my WhatsApp number is here. Just send us a WhatsApp. I mean, WhatsApp is the safest, because in Russia we've got the new rules about missionaries. And the goal is to get all foreign missionaries out of the Russia. So what we do, we must do it very more... what is it? Yeah, not so obvious. We're working more undercover than previous years, because they've already expelled and deported many foreign missionaries out of the country. So WhatsApp is still kind of safe. Facebook is not safe enough. Just recently, a young girl from Zimbabwe, she just on Facebook invited people to a gospel concert. And just because she invited people to a gospel concert, they arrested her, deported her out of... And she was in the final year of studies in Russia. So she couldn't finish her studies, anything. They just deported her because she invited people on Facebook. So we don't write many things on Facebook, not Christian things. But WhatsApp is still... Our website is here. That just quickly shows our heart, what is our vision, what we're doing. So go take a number, write to us, and then I'll add you to our prayer list. And you can pray with us, and on this prayer list, I will send some testimonies of what the people did. Yeah, and...